I fucking tell. I just have under you because of the tiny little thing here in my hand, you know. How beautiful to see our children growing in the Lord. All right, I want to have this time open to you. And you can tell from your heart as a father an experience that would help all of us to look more to Jesus. Something that has helped you, something that has touched your life in this last year experience as a father. All right, maybe the dependency on God and something impossible, maybe a blessing that you were looking for and God granted, or maybe you never looked for and God gave it to you anyway. So go ahead and come in and speak to us. All right, who will be first? Come on, Wayne, come in.
Greg, you got a little tape back there? You're limited to 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting my wares out here.
Daisy, we all prepared. Friday is face off.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank God for my children, especially my two sons that he gave me. And there's a lot of people today, a lot of people that are married cannot have children.
Yeah.
They're having to adopt children.
That's right.
And I know all the dads here love their children as much as I do. And I just wanted to thank God for what he has done for me and giving me four wonderful children. And I would also like to share one scripture passage that I think is very meaningful. And this is, I'm talking about to the children right now, and dads, and I think also this is going to apply to us also. But I really want the children to know how much Jesus really loves you and how much he cares for you. And in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, I would just like to read those verses. And see what the, this was a gathering when Jesus was sitting down and a lot of the people were bringing people to him to be healed. And then all of a sudden, there was a group of people that was bringing children unto the Lord. And this is what happened in Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. It says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And when I was reading this scripture, I was thinking this was the God of the universe that created the heavens, the earth, and he created the children. And he created the dads. And he loves you so much. And he wants you to come to him with all your trials and tribulations, Anthony, Jim, no matter what you got. And he wants to love you. And he wants to save you. And by the examples of God giving his only begotten son, he gave up everything so that we might have eternal life. And I don't know if I could give up one of my sons or one of my daughters the way God gave up his son. So I just wanted to remind us all how much Jesus really loves the little children. Mm-hmm. And also he loves the dads too. And he wants us to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. And I really appreciate all the dads for bringing their kids today and having this time together as we grow. Because, you know, we're all dads to each other because we have a part in God's family to help other children's family. When they're here at church or whatever we can do, we should give them a word of encouragement and help them any way we can. And again, I would just like to thank God again for my family and my church family and my pastor for bringing us and drawing us all to this church so that we might serve our Lord and Savior.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you very much. Wow. Thank you very much. Somebody else want to say something that God put in your hand and your heart come in, say something. All right, come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. He said, here's my travel, Andrew. Good, Andrew.
Okay. My mom gave me a card last night and it had Ephesians 6, verse 4, and it says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And that's a verse that I needed because number one here is really he tests us each and every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have to find strength in the Lord in His Word to teach them to pray. And for me, that's a learning. It's good for me too because without my example, they can't learn the love of the Lord. And so it keeps us accountable, and we're just thankful that the Lord gave us these little precious gifts. And we always think that how are we going to give them back to Him? What are they going to be like when the Lord takes them from us? And so it's our responsibility as fathers to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. And that keeps us all as a family in unity. So we're thankful for that. And I think we've grown the most because we've had kids. And it helped me appreciate my dad. I don't understand. I don't think I could appreciate what he went through with three boys. I only have two. And he had three, so it's a very a wonderful gift to have children and to have fathers. And like Wayne said, our Heavenly Father is truly our Father. Amen. And He gives us the strength to do all things. So I'm just thankful.
Thank you.
And for this, it's actually, I'm very thankful for this standing here.
Thank you. Very, very thankful. I want your brother to come in and tell something. Thank you to your parents. You come in. Come in. Come in, Logan Bachelor, come in. This is a young man who likes to meet boss values. And tell us the experience of having such a good party for you guys.
Well, I don't know if a lot of you people know me. I come here once in a while.
Okay, tell your name.
My name is Rodney. I'm Joby's youngest brother. And if there's anything I learned about my parents, my father, my family, is that no matter what happens in your life, that, you know, they're going to be the cornerstone and the backbone of support and encouragement and wisdom. And I've learned that, you know, it doesn't matter with your friends and everybody and all the things you have, the most basic cornerstone in your life is going to be your family, because they will always be there.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And it's been a good example to me, and I've newfound appreciation.
Thanks.
It's been a tough year, but, you know, I've gotten through it, so I'm much stronger now, and, you know, I do that to my mom and dad, and, you know, the foundations they put in my heart and the values that they give.
All right, thank you, Rodney. You can be church tomorrow. All right. Okay, be church for me. All right. We learn from each other.
Just got some verses to share. It's in 1 John. Starting with verse 13, it says, chapter 2, verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And then it finishes it off with the 15, 16, 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
And just in reading those verses and echoing what Joby and Rodney said about the family or fatherhood and just having children, basically we have big responsibilities with our children, and God has given us those responsibilities. And I echo, you know, what Joby and Rodney was saying is you don't really appreciate your father until, you know, you have your own children. I think as much as, you know, once you have your own children, you appreciate your dads more. And, you know, I know we had five boys in my family, and I don't see how, you know, my mom and my dad You know, Ken probably relates to this more than I can. I only got one boy. But when Anthony was Andrew's age, you know, you wonder, you know, is this guy, how's this guy going to turn up? You know, is he going to start, you know, loving the Lord or going the other way or whatever? And you know, Anthony's definitely not old yet. He's only 12, going on 13. But the joy in the heart comes from when you see little signs of sensitivity to God's word. And that is so rewarding, you know. I know at times I've seen him, even after some of your messages, and I know he's been thinking about it. Amen. And it's just precious to see them be sensitive to God's word, because you know, as they get older, even though, you know, if they get, when once they get to their teens and their 20s, you know, like we all did, where we kind of went off a little bit, you know that foundation is there. And, you know, it'll be there for the rest of their lives. So, you know, just thank God for the opportunity to share God's word with them and pass on God's word to them so that they in turn can pass on God's word, you know, to their children. So I also thank God for church and pastor and God's word for, you know, giving us the opportunity to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, everybody thinks I'm an expert, but this is on-the-job training. An expert I'm not. Gosh, what impresses me today is just how much love there is in this place, and the things that we share, and the things that you know, money can never buy this, you can never go anywhere else and replace it. I said thank you to everybody after the graduation ceremony for my daughter, and just my wife and I spent the next several days just in awe about how much love there is in this place, and all these people show up to say we love you, and you kind of think about it and say, well, you know, if their daughter was graduating, would I be as excited about them as they're excited about me? And then maybe you're a little bit too honest with yourself and you say, well, no, I wouldn't be. And then that just makes you just kind of crumble inside. Your heart just kind of crumbles. And so, you know, God has given us just these great gifts, our children, all of us. And what a huge responsibility that is, as you said. And, you know, you don't necessarily take all that seriously sometimes. And then there's other times when you think to yourself, wait a minute, you know, I got a full plate. God's given me just this incredible gift. And yet there's this responsibility. And then at the same time, there's this joy that comes with it. And so just a lot of mixed emotions that go on there. You talk about having a relationship with your own dad. And my dad showed up for that graduation ceremony for my daughter, but I've really never had a relationship with my dad. So I look at the relationship that some of you fellas have with your dad and see how great that is. And I'm building that with my own sons, but that's really hard for me to relate to with my own dad. And so that's something that I've missed. But boy, seize the day. The time that we have is so short. You look at these kids and how fast they grow up. I'm looking at Jim, and I'm seeing a young man. I see Anthony, and just a couple days ago, he was the same age as Jim, and now he's growing up, and I look at Jim, and every day he's growing up, and it just kind of takes your breath away. Mm-hmm. It really does. So God has given us this tremendous opportunity, and we have to really grab onto that and take it seriously and use it and really mold these kids the way God would have us do, because they're going to grow up. They're going to have their own ideas, that, you know, Christian or not, or church or not. They're going to have their own ideas. They're going to have their own thing. The world's going to change. The world's changing every day. And we've got to just pray. We've got to just hold on to them and pray and really seek God's wisdom to raise our children. We have to do that. And I think a lot of us are doing that. We try at times. Of course, we fail. We fall down all the time. And then you wonder how God can pick you back up again and use you after all the things that have happened in your life, all the mistakes you made, all the things you did wrong, all the things you're still doing wrong. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean that we're going to just sort of, you know, be perfect from now on. We're perfect in God's sight, but boy, in our flesh, we just fall down every day. I can't speak for anybody else but me, but I know I fall down every single day. And how grateful I am to God for what he's given me and for all of you here. And just to just to take it seriously as we do, but again, from time to time we forget and we kind of want to go our own way, do our own thing. But God's given us this tremendous gift, and how seriously we need to take that, and how much we want to use it and nurture it and make it grow. If there's one thing I want to say, I just want to encourage everybody to just hold on tight to the Lord, and you know, for all your might, and just go forward for Him, because there's no mistakes in that. Even though you may make mistakes, there's no mistakes in what God has planned for us. And if we seek those plans, we'll be successful in what we do. God's given us promises in His Word for cover to cover of that. So let's keep going.
Okay. All right. Ralph, you have come on, Ralph. You're good. Ralph, same thing, because Friday we were doing well and we got water, and then Ralph and Wayne, I called it. I went to the restroom and I pushed the thing and it never stopped. So they had to save me to fix it. So Ralph has all kinds of tools in the market. Go ahead now.
Well, now that I'm standing here, there's one thing that I think about, and that's when Jesus said, deny yourself, and he also explained it in one of the gifts of love is that you seek not your own. And so we have the example of our Father in heaven, and how in the gospel he shows us that Christ, he sent his son to die for us. And with these examples, we can follow his step. And in that case, in family, it's hard, but that's the guidance you give us in our hearts to turn from our own way and to be helpful to those around us in the family and the neighborhood. And that's why I'm thankful to grace that you give us to do this and to carry on this way in spite of the way we'd like to go, the way we have been. And one thing that really forces that issue is when there is a family. It's living with them and come out, and it's hard. It's hard to ignore the fact that there must be a change, and there must be in the Father to be with them. I'm thankful for all the things you've done and allowing you to carry on day by day.
Amen.
Inspire us all.
Thank you. Thank you. Just briefly, I want to show you, I grew up Newton, my colleague. He was a naval engineer with his own business, his own astilleros, we call it, they built the ships. And from time I remember, 6-7 years old, I was with him on a Saturday. We have school Monday through Saturday, and in the afternoon, my daddy would pay a taxi to take me from the school to his place. And I grew up seeing how they built big ships. And from time memory, from 8-9 years old, he showed me geometry, trigonometry, algebra, all these things. A great companionship. My uncle, my mother's brother, was a civil engineer, and so I grew up in it. It was an engineer family. So it was natural for me to become an engineer. But I learned it. The trade. Right there when I was 6-7 years old, because of a great relationship with your parents. And I learned to obey in the hard way, because he would respect me by not obeying. So God has established family, not the state of California or the United States, because family reflects the care of God for us. And what Satan does wants to destroy family. And because if Satan destroyed the family, then he destroyed the heart of Christianity. A church without families is not a church. A church should be the reflection of families. May God help us to guard this church very, very strongly, and that we be jealous of our children, who are their friends, who, what they read, what they do, because I was like this with my daughter. It was a protection for her. And she and Daniel is super protection to the three girls, to the point that they cannot touch the internet and so on unless it's an email or something that they supervise. And some cruel to some people, but not. And they would be grateful when they grow up. Their mind was protected from the corruption of this world. Thank you for your dedication. I'm proud that in our church we do have a church. We do have a church that is a family. And because it's a family, I feel extremely peaceful and extremely good. Yesterday was my first day as a full-time pastor. And I enjoy a full-time day. I came here at 8 o'clock. I went to the senior club and I had prayer in the coffee and donuts with them. I told them I'm the full-time pastor here, and oh, they welcomed me. We had a little Bible study with about 9 people who had to speak French, Italian, and English, because there were some people from the old fashioned, there were some Swedish people that remember they were Christians and they are singing songs. Those Swedish are good. And so now the senior club asked me if I can be there every Friday morning just to read the Bible. So I can be here every day. So it's all good. So I 8 o'clock, I will be reading the Bible, and then the devotion they do on radio will have it right here in the senior flat. And that's amazing, the opportunities. I went to visit the mayor of the city, and said, I'm an hour full time here, and if the city needs me, you can send a police car, and we go any place you want to. In other words, let the people know that we want to do the work. And by 4 o'clock, the police car said, will you help me? There is a problem here. So we went to the phone. It was easy, 15 minutes, we prayed, and the policeman said, you don't know the paperwork that comes when you do a presentation. Oh, it was over here, here, and if you can pray, the whole thing is over, oh boy, we got a job done. So let the people know that here is a church. Hell, I tell you, it's going to be a big thing. I'm just enjoying myself, and a big, wonderful thing that is going to happen. Because we are a family. I told Wayne, a long time ago, we had Los Amigos prayer meeting that we need to pray that we can become a very strong, strong church. Because having a strong home, then we can branch and lead the gospel. And strong means don't let the outside penetrate inside and change us. That means strong. That doesn't mean numbers. It means we all sure what we believe. And then the rest, they care. All right, we're going to pray, and we are praying. And tomorrow we're going to have a great day on Father's Day. Pastor will speak about some fathers in the Bible, 5 of them, that have distinguished remarks. God made distinguished remarks about them that I wish I have all of them, but at least if we can have one, that would be great. Father, we thank you that we have this time in which we share our heart with you. And the most important part is that we know you as Savior. And someone here doesn't know you, Father, let that person know that we are for real. That we really care for you, and that we really are grateful that one day, as a father, you touch our shoulders and said, I'm here, and we come to believe in you as our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God that loves people, as Wayne said, and is willing to save. So, Father, help us to share that willingness of yours with people. Thank you for our children. May they grow in the admonition and fear of God. And may one day be used with might by you. Thank you for our families, for our wives, who put up with us and care for us. In Jesus' name, we pray and thank you. Amen. 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 Amen.